When I was a student at Cherokee, playing football for Coach Bud Mills, one of the things he kind of expected of football players was that they would also participate in track and field. Not because all of us would be good at track and field, but hopefully to build endurance and increase speed. So I threw the shot put, and since there wasn't 10 and 20 yard races, that's about where my speed topped out, I ran the 2 mile. Now at Cherokee, we didn't have a regular track. Our was a dirt, plowed up track, because what was around the ball field was gravel. Our first track meet was at Russellville. And it felt good and different on that track. And I took off, ran the best 440 that I'd ever run. The problem was there were 7 more of those laps to go. And when you've run the best you've ever run in the first lap, you're really beginning to get in trouble in the next lap and the next lap and the next lap. And the guy that was leading the pack, he dropped out, and I was the next one after the first round. And I kind of drifted. I did finish, but drifted and drifted and drifted. And I learned one great lesson. It's not how you start that always matters, but it's how you finish life's race. And you know, it's true in our faith life, too. Many of us had great starts. We remember how Christ got a hold of our lives, transformed us. We discovered, as that old song says, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. But then life begins to happen. And we experience the temptations to compromise that Paul talks about in Romans 12. We start hitting bumps in the road, obstacles. And sometimes they get overwhelming in our lives. And suddenly our faith begins to dim. We find ourselves in the place that Timothy apparently found himself in, as Paul writes his second letter. Timothy, now a leader of the church, was facing some overwhelming problems and was discouraged. And Paul reminds him of the faith that he received from his mother and his grandmother. And then he writes in 2 Timothy 1:6, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. To rekindle. He needed a rekindling, a renewing, a fanning of the flames of his faith, because his faith had kind of taken a hit and dimmed. And it can happen to us as well. In fact, as I look at the Scripture, it happened to a lot of those folks of faith. So this summer, we're taking a look at a series called Faith Lifts. And when we're looking at persons who walked in faith in some form or fashion, but then something happened. And they needed a faith lift, something to renew them and get them back on track, just as we do at times. Then we're going to begin with a look at a man that most of us know about. His name was Abram. We know it better as the name change, Abraham. His wife, when we first meet them in Genesis 12, was Sarai, who becomes Sarah. And God calls them to a new life. Invite you to turn with me to Genesis 12. And this is how we're introduced to Abram's story. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here's one of the lessons that I learned right off the bat from Abraham. And that is, faith takes risk, trusting in God's faithfulness. Faith always have an element of risk to it. It's trusting God. He wants us to walk in faith, meaning that we don't see it all ahead of time. We don't know all the answers ahead of time. He wants us in that place of trust and willing to take risk, get out of our comfort zones. Notice in the Scripture, that's where Abraham was. He was called to leave the country that he knew, leave family there, leave all that he had built up there, and to go to a new place that he knew nothing about, except God said, "It's going to be a plan of blessing. And I'm going to make of you a great nation," and they don't have any children. How would you respond if God just up and called you to leave where you were, stop doing what you're doing? I mean, think about it. How would you respond if God called you to walk away from the life you've worked to establish? Some of us have worked a long time at establishing where we are. I ran into a classmate of mine at a funeral recently, and he told me, "It's taken me a while to get there, but I'm actually going to take a church." Now, if he's my classmate, you know that he's not a young man. And this July, he's going to start preaching for the first time in a church, having responded. That's Abraham was older than I am when he got that call to take out in a new way. What about leave your support structures? How do you feel if you were to leave your support structures and then leave behind the nest egg you have built and start off on a cross-country trip to your new home with no map, only trust? No GPS, no map, no pictures, just God said, and you are called to go. That's where Abraham was. And the Scripture says that he packed his bags and he stepped out in faith and he trusted God. In the book of Hebrews, we find this definition of faith. "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And apparently he knew that we'd struggle with understanding that definition fully. And so the remainder of that 11th chapter is called the roll call of the saints, as he lifts up example after example after example of persons who demonstrate that faith. And in these examples, he lifts up Abraham three times more than anyone else. And the first one relates to this call in Hebrews 11:8. "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going." That's faith. It's willing to set out because God calls you. Now, I'm not suggesting that God's calling to call every one of us to actually leave our homes and go to a new place in following Him. But it may. Just a couple weeks ago, the Manvilles, who were one of our new mission partners, arrived in Nigeria having received a call. They had to leave behind family. One was her brother who was dealing with some heart problems. And if you prayed for that, for him and all, and been on that prayer, or you know that they've gotten over there and gotten good news that he's doing well. But they've literally packed their bags. There's a group that will be commissioned or licensed or ordained. Those are three categories of ministry response in the United Methodist Church tomorrow night at annual conference. They've been packing their bags to go in a new direction and answering God's call. And not all of them are just out of college. Some of them are second or third career persons who God has called to make a change in their lives. Now, He may not call all of us in that way, but when we are called to be His disciples, it is a restructuring of our lives. It's a reprioritizing of our lives. Because there's always change when we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And in the midst of that, here's a word of encouragement for us from Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice that. Wherever you go, He's there. I was talking to a young pastor who's experiencing his first move. And kind of uncertain. Knew nothing about where he was going except that the district superintendent said, "This is where you're going." I was able to say to him, "One thing I do know is God's already there. You're not taking God with you. You're going with God. And you'll discover He's already there. Wherever you go, don't be discouraged. Be courageous. Because God is with you." Here's the second thing about faith. Faith hopes even when it cannot see the outcome. And that often's our struggle, isn't it? That when we can't see the outcome, we really struggle with faith. Look again at that definition. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's at that point that Abram got the struggling in his faith. If you turn over to chapter 15 of Genesis, he's beginning to run up against one of those obstacles. He's beginning to struggle with his sight because he can't see God's answer. The setting is his nephew Lot, there's been a problem and they separate ways. And that makes them more aware of the fact that there's no heir. There's no child. And how can he be the father of a great nation without a child? And you may remember they took it into their own hands. If God's not going to do it, I guess we'll have to do it ourselves. And that's where we enter into conversation between Abram and God in chapter 15, verse 3. And Abram said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Notice he's kind of given up. And he's begun to take things into his own hands. Now, Abram, at this point, had the classic factors of a real pity party. See if you've been here. God seemed to have been silent. Maybe I can read. Maybe it's time to blow up my notes a little larger. God seemed to have been silent. Have you ever had that time when God's silent? Seems as if He's not listening. God was not working on Abram's timetable. He doesn't quite often work on our timetables, does He? I think that's part of the journey of faith. And Abram was afraid time was running out on him. After all, he and Sarah were not getting any younger. And there's this child that's been promised. And this resulted in Abram questioning God's plan. Have you ever been there? I imagine most every one of us, if we're honest, if we've walked with God for some time, have been up against that call of God in our lives to do something and go something and be something, and we question. Or we find ourselves in the midst of the struggle and we wonder where God is, and it sounds as if He's not listening to us anymore. But notice what happens. We pick up with verse 4. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Count the stars, if you're able to count them. And then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Notice that he reminded him of his promise. He restored him in the word. And then comes this statement. And he believed the Lord. And the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Here in this time when Abram needed a real faith lift, God restored him in the word. Someone put it this way. As an act of faith, Abraham replaces his worry with hope as he stood on the word. He replaces his worry with hope. So that the author of Hebrews uses this as another example of faith. It was faith that made Abraham able to become a father, even though he was too old and Sarah herself could not have children. He trusted God to keep his promise. And this statement. Though Abraham was practically dead, from this one man came as many descendants as there are stars in the skies, as many as the numberless grains of sand on the seashore. You see, when we walk with God and trust God, God can do amazing things. He did it in Abram, and He can do it in us if we just walk in His Word. There was an inscription found in the prison camps in Germany after Germany fell. And the inscription said, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when He's silent. I believe in God, even when He's silent. Even when it seems as if, like Abram, we don't hear God leading, but we trust that He's there. And in those moments, God often still uses His Word to renew us and to lift us. Word like from Ecclesiastes 3:11. This is at the end of that, in everything there is a season teaching. And then it says, God has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what He does. He's got the timing down. But He's not going to give us full clarity. We just have to walk in trust. Jesus put it this way. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough worry about today. Learn to live in Me. Trust Me. You may remember that it's in that same section that Jesus taught us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and everything else. It's a matter of walking in trust and faith. But sometimes we're kind of like Sarah with Abraham. You got to take it on your own. You got to go on and step out. You got to take the step. And when we're trying to take it in our timetable, we may need this word, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. That's a word I need to remember quite often in my life. Be still in Him and wait patiently. That's the problem, isn't it? The waiting. Waiting for Him to speak and lead. But there's one other word that I want to lift out of Abraham, and we're going to skip forward to chapter 22. to chapter 22. And this is the point. Trusting God, faith lets go. You see, when you really come to that faith lift, transforming faith, it lets go and trusts God. Because that's what Abraham had to do, was to trust. And now, God's testing that faith. Just set the scene. He's had a name change from Abram to Abraham. He's had a child, Isaac. And now God tests him, the Scripture says. And it says in Genesis 22:2, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." Wow. This one that he had waited on, this one of the promise, now God says, go offer him as a sacrifice. You're talking about testing faith. Are you willing to give this one up? You see, he's already let go of his past. He's let go of his family. He's let go of his places to live. He's journeyed to a foreign land. But now God's asking him to let go of his future. The one the promise would be filled through. Are you willing to give that to me as well? You see, faith is willing to take a step and let go of everything. Hebrews 11 also uses this example of faith, saying, "By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, 'It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you.' He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." You know the story. He followed through. He put him on the altar. And as he raised the knife ready to offer the sacrifice, God provided. That's our God. When we're willing to trust our lives to him, he provides. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of us are going to face that kind of challenge of sacrificing a child. But discipleship does come with some reprioritization and some sacrificing. It means being willing to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him, to walk in new ways. For me, it was a call to leave dreams that I thought I had and step out and enter into pastoral ministry. That was years ago now. Now, I wasn't an Abraham. I didn't say, "Pack my bags, I'm going." I was more of a Moses at that point, who came up with plenty of excuses why you got the wrong person, God. But what I've discovered is the paradox of faith. That you can't outgive God. That in dying, you find a resurrection. In giving yourself away, you find life in all of its fullness. It's the paradox of losing your life in order to find life. Do you need a faith lift today? Do you need to be restored? Let me remind you one more time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. God, we thank you for a word that's always with us. We thank you for a word of faithfulness and love and grace. And God, we confess that there's something of Abram in all of us. That at times we get to looking around at the world and get sidetracked. At times as life brings heartaches and struggles our way, we get overwhelmed. And for some reason, Lord, as we focus on the issues that are facing us, we lose sight of you. And sometimes we, like Abram, take things into our own hands. Help us to hear Your word today calling us to be restored, to renewed. Just to remember a love that would go to the cross is a love that will not desert us. As Paul reminded us in Romans 8. And so, Lord, we come to Your table, seeking to be renewed in our faith, restored to that we might walk afresh as people of faith. And we remember the love of the Lord Jesus, who on the night that He would be betrayed, took the bread of the Passover. And after giving thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is My body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of Me." And then He took the cup of redemption, and after blessing it, He gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is My blood, the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of Me." Come, Holy Spirit, accept these offerings of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us anew that will renew and lift our faith and enable us to walk in greater obedience to You like Abraham. Not having to see all that You have in store for us ahead of time, but willing to let go and trust You. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.